Hey everyone, this is Alyssa Amoroso, and you may know me as Publicity on Instagram, but now I'm putting my phone down to chat with everyone from reality stars to fashion influencers to leading industry execs. We're going to be dishing on the things you don't see on social media, so turn your volume up because things are about to get juicy. This is the Publicity Podcast. What is up, my publicity tribe? Welcome back. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. I'm not humping anything because we are still in quarantine. New York actually moved into a phase two this Monday, which is really good because your girl needs her hair done. Sorry if I just screamed into the mic. I realized I got passionate there, but I literally have 4 inches of roots in my hair. Okay, before I get into my personal updates, hold on, let me backtrack. Hi everyone, if you are new here, I am Alyssa Amoroso. You may know me from social media. You probably don't if this is your first time here. I am a former publicist turned fashion, lifestyle, travel influencer, whatever. All of the millennial things that you see on Instagram, I am that. Yeah, I've come to terms with it. It's okay. So yeah, I am doing an interview with Carl Radke from Summer House today. I have known Carl for, I want to say over 2 years now. Probably, yeah, a long time. He's not someone I see very often, but whenever I do, he is sweet as pie, and I absolutely love chatting with him and catching up with him, so I was really excited to do that. This is his second time on the Publicity Podcast, so if you want to hear his casting story and all of that, I will put a link to our first episode in the detail section of this episode, but this one we really focus on where he is now, how he's been doing in quarantine, and what is to come for the future seasons. But before we get there, I am going to do a little personal update section, just about 8 minutes or so. So if you're new here and you want to get to know me, please hang around and listen. I would love to get to know you. If not, you could just fast forward to the interview. But again, this will be quick. Back to what I was saying about my hair. I can't remember the last time I got my hair dyed. I want to say it was 5 or 6 months ago. That's a really long time. My hair literally has grown out 5 inches on top. I've had balayage for as long as I could remember, but which is good because the way it's dyed is that so when it grows out, you have roots and it's fine. But like I'm taking it beyond having roots. Like this is borderline, my hair's 2 different colors at this point. Even my hair colorist from Bumble and Bumble DM'd me on Instagram and was like, hey Alyssa, you really need to get your hair fixed. So why don't you come see me? And I was like, I know I need to, but the salon's closed. So I am just waiting. Now that we're in phase two, once the salon is open, I am making an appointment. I am getting my hair touched up. And I also need a trim. I'm actually into how long it's gotten these last few months, but the ends are disgusting and super blonde and way too over bleached. And I need to just cut that shit off. So I will be doing that. Other than that, my personal life, I told you guys last week that I was talking to some guys on dating apps. One of the guys that I'm talking to, like, kind of, guys, I'm trying to figure out what to say because I'm scared that they listen. He's going on vacation, basically, so he won't be here for 3 weeks. So that's not happening anytime soon. The other one still isn't in New York either at the moment. So it's been interesting in quarantine. It's like, how the hell are you supposed to date when everyone's at home with their parents? And like, you can't even FaceTime because then mom's in the background being like, honey, who are you talking to? So yeah, same old. I am still watching The Vampire Diaries, literally drooling over Damon. He's the hottest man I've ever seen in my life. And I still don't understand why he was never casted to be Christian Grey. Like I'm actually even more so now upset because rewatching him, I just don't understand how he was looked over. Like he is the perfect person for the part. I'm sorry. What else am I watching? I am watching Selling Sunset because I want to have some of the people from Selling Sunset on the pod. It reminds me so much of The Hills, just the way that it's filmed, the way like The Hills, they showed them at work in the beginning. I don't know. I'm really into it. I'm not too far into it, so I don't have like too many opinions yet, but I will get into it a little bit more and recap it on future episodes. Other than that, I spent the weekend at my shore house with my parents and my sister and her husband. Luckily for me, they're ballers and decided to rent a boat for the summer. So I just freeload and ride the boat every weekend, which is really fun. So we do that. We cooked my dad some skirt steaks and some stuff for Father's Day, which was so cute. Just wanted to treat him because when we're down the shore, he always does all of like the groceries and takes care of us. And we just felt like we wanted to pay him back. So that was just our little way of, you know, doing something for him on top of obviously getting him a gift and all of that. But I just feel like dads are so hard to buy for because it's like, how many gadgets can one man have? Like, there's only so many gadgets we could buy our fathers. But I am back in the city now and I am feeling super refreshed. The weekend was very, very, very relaxing. I am just trying to put my head down, get to work. I am working around the clock to secure podcast guests because I want them to be freaking incredible for you guys. Season 2 of the Publicity Podcast is no joke. I have an amazing lineup. So if you are into reality TV, please, please, please hit that subscribe button because you will get new episodes in your iTunes. I wanted to say inbox, but like, that's not it. In your iTunes podcast app every single Wednesday, and you could listen along with me as I interview some of your favorite reality stars. And if you guys have anyone that you want to request, please do DM me on Instagram at Publicity, PubliSSity, spelt the same way as the podcast, because I love to hear who you guys want to listen to when I really try to target those people, because at the end of the day, I want to make it worthwhile for you guys to tune in. So definitely send me feedback. It is really helpful. And if you are not already in my closed Facebook group, you could just search the Publicity Tribe on Facebook, or you could just check the details section of this episode. I also included it there. I am trying to create a badass group of men and women who just love pop culture, want to shoot the shit, want to make virtual BFFs and just chat about life and love and reality TV and all of the things that make our world go round. So if you want to be in that group, I would love to have you. There's a few questions that you need to answer and then I will accept you into the group and we could chat. I'm really trying to get it to like be up and running. I have some people in it, but no one's like really proactively posting. So please don't be shy. Post an issue. We are here to give you advice and to listen, and I will be there to support you and answer because I always want to be a resource to you. Okay, guys, that is my spiel. There really aren't many personal life updates because, as I said last week, as I said a few minutes ago, there's nothing going on in the queue. Okay, maybe next week I'll have more updates because it's phase 2 now and I'll actually be a human and maybe eat outside or something outside of the apartment. So maybe I'll have more to share next week. But anyway, here is my interview with Carl. I hope you love it and I will talk to you next week. Okay, I'm going to hit record now because we are catching up too much off air. But okay, we're recording. Just tell me, where have you been quarantining?
So right around early March, I actually was on Andy Cohen with Luke, and I, you know, we did that, and then like a couple days later, we had a big lover boy brunch party at Lavo. So this is like early March, and I started feeling sick after that. I stayed inside, quarantined for 5 days. I was like same symptoms as Corona, fought through it, and then de Blasio kind of shut the city down, so I went out to the Hamptons. So I escaped out to a friend's house in the Hamptons. I was there for 10 weeks.
Oh, wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, so I just, you know, I live in a small one bedroom in Soho, and I just couldn't bear.
Is this friend a girl?
No, it's a guy.
Oh, okay.
He's actually a good friend of a lot of ours. He's the GM of Southampton Social Club.
Oh, I know him. Chris.
You know Chris. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Chris has a house and he had an extra bedroom. And I was like, you know what? Let's do it. But fast forward, while I was out there, I got tested for the antibodies and I tested positive. So.
Wow. That is wild. I haven't been tested, but my roommate was. And hers came back negative. So I feel like if hers are negative, mine likely are because...
Yeah, you guys are spending so much time.
Yeah, like I feel like I would have got it. But That's insane. So you were in the Hamptons. Now you're at your mom's.
Yeah, so I'm in good old Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Obviously, you can see my mom's scars and jewelry and stuff. Yeah, I've been in Pittsburgh for about a week. You know, just it's been nice to spend some time with fam. Now knowing that I'm potentially not carrying anything. Yeah.
I think that's my hardest part. Like, I still try to see my parents on the weekend. And luckily, I go door to door. My sister has a car in the city. So she'll pick me up and bring me to and from my parents' shore house. But I'm still nervous. It's like that thing just weighing on you. It's like, okay, I feel comfortable within myself, but I don't want to get other people sick.
That's what's, you know, I saw my aunt and uncle last night, and, you know, they live in Ohio, and they were like kind of weird around me. And I also agree, like, I don't want to get my aunt, you know, my family members sick. Like, that's a scary thought. Like,
or so make people feel uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's been a weird, you know, weird times. I feel very lucky though. I mean, this whole Corona has been actually very good for me just from a personal standpoint and from lover boy perspective. So I'm doing really well. How are you doing, Alyssa?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. I agree. I feel like in the beginning, I had a lot of anxiety just about like what is going on in the world with Corona and everything. But then I feel like you kind of settle into a routine where you're like, okay, I appreciate things more now. I like am being healthier, just like you're getting into better habits. So I actually feel kind of similarly. I know you mentioned on the Summer House reunion that you were no longer drinking and you were sober. I kind of feel like this comes at an interesting time because you are isolated. So have you been able to stick with that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously rewatching some of this past season there were parts that I honestly didn't remember. Like I was that drunk or, you know, that kind of in my own head. So you rewatch that. I knew back in the summer, I was not having a great summer. I was in a dark place. I had some personal things that are not shown on TV. I had some professional things that were not shown on TV. Some things shown on TV don't give a lot of context to my behavior. So it's frustrating to watch it and then add in the alcohol component. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to take a break. So I stopped drinking in March. I've been sober since.
Wow.
I feel great. Now, here's the thing. Like, am I saying I'm never going to drink again? I've never said that. I just needed to take a break from it. I mean, living in New York City for the last 6 years, you know, basically been drinking 3 or 4 nights a week and going out till 4 a.m. And that's just not sustainable. And then in addition, you know, I'm working for an alcohol brand. And I found myself this past fall just going out every night of the week, whether it was work-related or doing an event, that I'm drinking all the time. And I just wanted to feel like I can be more powerful over it and take a step back and kind of reassess my relationship with alcohol. So I've been sober. Honestly, my plan, I think, going into the summer is to be sober. It's been fun. I realized that I can be my same cool, fun self and remove some of that angry, douchey, piece of shit self.
Wow, that's really admirable. I think, yeah, I mean, first of all, I get what you're saying, whereas you're like, I'm not necessarily going to label myself and be like, I'm an alcoholic. Like, this doesn't mean I'm never going to drink again, because obviously, you know, you have to assess things and learn about yourself and kind of see what works for you and what doesn't. So I agree with, you know, just like figuring things out. But it's definitely a step to just like, I don't know, it's tough to be in social situations, but you're right. You are such a like personable person. If you are to go back next season, this upcoming summer.
Fingers crossed.
I know. We hear that.
Don't know it's going to happen, but fingers crossed.
The media is saying that, you know, the season obviously is greenlit. I know you can't really say anything with that, but what would it be like being in a house where everyone, like, alcohol plays such a major role, I feel like, in the show specifically and in that experience within that summer house?
Yeah. I mean, there's been other weekends over the last 4 seasons that I've been sober. We haven't, it's not like highlighted, oh, Carl's sober this weekend. Right. I feel like my personality and my energy, you wouldn't even know that I'm not drinking. You'll know when I am drinking, and that's when I'm not the good version of myself. So it's like, yes, there's going to be some pressure, I think, to feeling, I mean, listen, when there's cameras on, like, you get nervous. I don't care who you are on the show. There's a little scary sometimes, no matter what the situation is. And drinking helps alleviate some of that anxiety. I just think for me, like, I feel like I could still be the same vulnerable, opinionated, fun Carl, but, you know, not having several thousand beverages over the course of the summer. Now, I say that now, you know, I don't, but it's also too, it's been helping me. I'm taking a step back and realizing, I mean, I was drinking a ton and I was going out all the time. And a lot of my female relationships were affected. I didn't know that until later on, but by my drinking. And I was running away from a lot of things I was not addressing. So I've been getting therapy addressing a lot of these things that I was blaming, you know, my parents' divorce on, or my brother's situation. I was like, it's their fault. That's why I'm drinking. But it's like, no, like, I actually need to address my drinking, and then I can help those other things out.
Wow. So is that your first time doing therapy, or you just started it back up?
First time doing like therapy, like actually telling the 100% truth. I've done therapy over the last 6 years. I've never once, up until this past, you know, January, said, I drink a ton. I've done drugs. I've partied. And it was liberating actually opening up with this therapist who focuses more on alcohol. Just being completely honest. Like, I in the past, I was, this girl screwed me over, or, you know, my dad's a dick, or, you know, all this stuff. And it was like, no, you need to address your own stuff. And I finally admitting my truth, it's actually been very therapeutic. And I do have a family that, you know, struggles with alcohol and drugs, and it's something that's been around me my entire life. So why wouldn't I want to take it seriously and get help for it?
Well, that's great, because I feel like I'm not a therapist, but the first thing really in like overcoming something or better understanding it is to admit it. So the fact that you're even finally like being truthful, like you said, when you talk to a therapist, you're not going to get anywhere if you're not. So it's great that you're doing that.
Yeah, it was basically lying. I mean, I'm basically lying. I was playing a version in therapy to like of what I thought needed to be addressed. And it's just like, I was very afraid to be completely honest. And in so far as like, I even quantified how much money I've spent on alcohol and partying, and all these things keep adding up. And I'm like, holy cow. Like it's pretty staggering for 6 years in the city and how much I've focused on drinking and partying versus investing in myself.
Especially when you're having this job like situation that you feel like you are having so much change, like that's already enough stress financially when your jobs are so up and down. And then to kind of put a number to that and be like, oh my God, I'm not helping my situation. I'm making it worse. It's like a big realization, I'm sure.
Big realization too. And I think, you know, for me, I quantified it because like, you know, the therapy does cost money. I've been investing in like meditation, you know, I've been just really putting money into like things that are actually going to help me. And the amount of money I've spent on myself, like, you know, therapy, meditation, yoga, it's way less than what I've spent on alcohol. And I feel 1,000 times better.
That's so incredible. I do a lot of self-work too, and I feel like it's just, you don't even realize that things are wrong necessarily until you start looking at it, and then you're like, wow, I have so much to learn and so much I could work on, and I think it's just so great that you're doing that now. I'm like, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's been, I think, healthy for some other, you know, my close relationships in my life. I've definitely had some challenges with my father over the years, and me and him are in a really good place.
Oh, good.
I think it applies to a lot of what's going on in the world. Like, I think people have a lot of hate and anger versus acceptance and listening and learning and allowing people to change and allowing people to have responsibility for their actions. I've definitely harbored a lot of hate and anger over things, but I realized that that is only holding me back. And I've found, you know, ways to allow these negative anger feelings about my family or about other things in my life and allow them to come in, but also allow them to go and manage them. Where in the past I would literally pick up a, you know, bottle of rosé and drink and go out and party and just forget about all these things versus allowing them and working through them.
Yeah. It's like, how could I drown this out versus like, how could I feel this and address it?
And then, you know, add in, you know, being on a reality TV show. Listen, it's fun. It's exciting. It's super cool. But I don't think people really truly realize what it's like to live through it for 4 seasons in a row, for 12 weekends in a row. And me being the only single guy literally for every single season other than Luke last season. I mean, Kyle has always had Amanda in the fold. that's a lot. I literally just inherently the nature of the show, I'm going to take a beating because I'm a male single guy. And the amount of social media hatred, the amount of people telling me that I'm a piece of shit, I should kill myself, you know, you name it, I hear it all. That weighs on you. I don't care what you say. It's hard not to read that. So that stuff, in the past, I would literally drink and like respond to people on social media because I was so angry.
I actually, it's funny you say that because I was on a podcast last weekend when I like was off air with the person. They were like, so have you ever thought about TV? Like it wasn't being recorded. They were just asking me. And I thought about it for a second, like after we hung up, just the conversation that we had. And I was like, I don't know if I would be able to handle like the mass amounts of criticism at once. Because I, like, you know, obviously I have followers on Instagram, but and I would say like 99% of what I get is positive because that's just, I don't really do anything
that's
super.
That's the nature of what you're putting out
there. Yeah, yeah. I'm not like super.
Design and fun stuff.
Exactly. I'm not like super controversial, but every now and then I'll get, you know, someone saying something rude, usually from like a fake account. And then it like stirs up this like insecurity in me that I'm like, is this someone that I like went to high school with, that I had a problem with, that made a fake account? Like, because it seems so personal and I take it so personal. And like, that's literally one comment out of thousands of good ones. So I really can't imagine what it's like on such a grand scale when your episode's airing and thousands of people are tweeting you at once, commenting on your Instagram. I mean, I don't envy that. I feel like that must be so hard to deal with.
It's, I mean, listen, it's what you signed up for. I mean, people, they're like, well, you signed up for it. So, you know, you got it. Yeah. Listen, I fully accept that we signed up for putting our lives on TV and sharing our personal stories. The challenge, I think, for me in some ways, and nothing against our other castmates, I've shared a lot of my personal life. I mean, my sexuality has been questioned. My body parts have been questioned. My relationships, my family. And yes, I've put that out there. And when you open up to that, you expose yourself to so much different kind of criticism.
Yeah.
That I wasn't ready for it. And it can make you crazy. And it definitely drove me to drink and party because I was so frustrated that all these people like hated me or think I'm gay or think I'm an asshole or think, you know, I'm an alcoholic, all this stuff. It all falls at once. And then you relive it. You're like, wait, I was there. It's playing out a little bit differently because of the way it's organized on TV. I'm not saying the editing is great. No one gets a bad edit on our show. You actually probably get a great edit because there's some things that they leave out that make you look worse.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm probably a prime example of that, but it's just hard to relive it and watch it. And then you're reliving it and then you're getting messages about it. And it's like, it's 8 months ago. Why are you mad at me now? And so it's tough. Really cool. I recommend everybody on Bravo shows to go to therapy. I've definitely learned over the years that a lot of Bravo people do now go to therapy because of just the inherent, you know, kind of social media stuff that you get.
It's a show that I watch, Love Island. It's a UK like reality show, kind of like The Bachelor.
I've never seen it.
Oh my God, it's so good. They actually, there's been like suicides in the franchise because...
I saw the one you're talking about.
There's been three, I think.
But still...
It's crazy. So there's been like three suicides in the franchise and because they come out of the situation and they're overnight sensations, like they have 4 million followers. It's insane. And they actually all get like therapy now after the show. Like the show provides it for them. And I think that's like, so I think more reality TV shows should be implementing things like that or at least offering it to you if you should choose, just to make sure that they're creating like a healthy environment. And I don't even want to get into this so much, but even like what's happening with Stassi and Kristen getting kind of their like the rug pulled from under them, I feel like you need, if you're going to do that and you're going to fire someone under those circumstances, you probably should provide them with some sort of like therapy or just some, it's hard to cope. It's like being a public figure isn't easy.
No, I think Bravo's gotten, at least in my experiences, I mean, it's funny. We got an email. I'm not supposed to talk a lot about Bro, but I can share this. It's like, Summer House has been on for almost half a decade. And even in a half a decade, things have evolved in our world and changed so much. And it's like, you need someone to lean on and talk to and share your fears and frustrations. And for me specifically, it's been a total game changer doing that. And I'm going to recommend it to my castmates at some point. I'm like, guys, you should see someone for sure.
No, I totally agree. And it's crazy that you just said Summer House has been on for half a decade. I can't even believe that. I feel like Corona has been the best thing to ever happen to Summer House.
Yeah, I think a combination of people are sitting at home. Yeah. A lot of time, I think people were looking for an escape. You know, our show generally has always provided that, being that, you know, it's filmed in the summer, but obviously plays, you know, six, seven months later. Also, I mean, listen, I think our show is about as real as it gets. I mean, you get real, authentic stuff from us because we're real friends. We live together, you know, and we've, Kyle, Lindsay, and Amanda and I have been on it since the beginning, where, like, we've put so much into it, and it's like, you know, you're watching us grow with us. So it's been, it was this, I think, really good timing. Obviously, I think the new additions, Luke and Jules, were really good. I think Hannah and Luke's story was obviously very powerful for the show. Finally, someone else other than me and Kyle and Lindsay having a storyline. So that was, I think, really good for the show. But also just, you know, Bravo itself. I mean, they've gotten behind us. They've supported us. I mean, in the past, our ratings haven't been that great, and they still believed in us. So I think we're just really lucky that they have still gotten behind us. I'm blown away that we're still on TV. Like, I know we have something cool, but at the same time, I'm like, we don't get the ratings that Housewives do, or you know, Vanderpump, for that matter.
But I think the thing with Summer House, just from like a consumer standpoint, is that it's growing, which shows like potential, because with each season, I feel like it's getting more and more popular. And sometimes there's shows that you just need to be on air a little bit for people to get behind. And I feel like, especially now, since Vanderpump has had so many shakeups with bringing all these new people on, and it's almost like in my opinion, it's been on almost so long that the storylines aren't believable anymore. It's like, oh, they all work in restaurants. Like, yeah, right. So I think people are kind of starting to like trickle off, and then they're looking for something to fill that void. And Summer House is like the new fresh thing that is just like, it's great because it's not based around work. So it's not contingent on you guys like all working together in a restaurant. It's just contingent on you living in a house together, which we would all do anyway, you know?
Yeah, that's why it's so fun for us, I think, to some degree. Like, I mean, pretty much everybody on the cast, like, I met Kyle in the Hamptons before ever doing any of this stuff. Like, totally. Lindsay as well. So, like, we were living this kind of life. And, yeah, like, that's, I think, fun to show and fun to share on Bravo, because our show is the only show that has cameras like we do in our house, in the rooms. And most other shows, they just show up to film their little dinner scene. They get mad, and then they go home. Where us, we go to dinner at Southampton Social Club, and we're back at the house arguing about it later. Like, it's, you know, you're on top. So that's what's unique about our show, for sure. But I agree. I think, you know, we were kind of this Vanderpump Rules stepchild, you know, since our crossover, our first episode was with them.
Yeah.
I think it would make sense to maybe draw some of their audience to ours. But, you know, they've definitely, I think they've reached a level of where it's just, you're right, the storylines are a little, you know, do they really even work there? Yeah.
I
personally would love to see just a Tom spinoff.
That would be awesome. I actually would love that. Or just like, just following their friendships and their lives. Like, I think this whole like quarantine concept is really cool right now. With, I'm happy that Summer House did get renewed, because I feel like this moment in time needs to be documented on TV. Like, I want to know what's going on in people's lives when this is going on. And just like, you know, like Sheena's like with her boyfriend, and Tom and Ariana live together, and Brittany and Jax. Like, it would be funny to give an inside look at your life when everything else goes away and you're literally just stuck with that person inside.
I mean, for us, like, I don't, like, Monday through Friday, like, me, Kyle, and Amanda, like, I literally, all we do is Loverboy. Like, Loverboy, it's like working Loverboy. Now, I can't speak for some of the other girls. I don't know exactly what they do all day. I think I know TikTok videos, but, which is, listen, that's awesome for them, but for us, like, it's, the quarantine's been amazing for our business. We've been really able to focus and laser in. But it wouldn't be that exciting to film us, like, sitting at Zoom calls, like, setting up distribution deals and selling Loverboy. I don't know. Maybe it would be, but.
Wait, I kind of want to talk about Loverboy a little bit, because
I would love to talk about
it. Yeah, so because I'm actually, like, a fan of it, I think it's so good. So I drink tea every day. Like, that's what's in my mug right now. So for me, like, White Claws and Truly, like, they're a little too sugary for me. And, like, I'm not a big sweets person. So anything that tastes like kind of artificial sweetener isn't my thing. Like, I just...
Chemically smell. I drink White Claw, I drink Truly. We've drank them on the show. Like,
yeah.
You pay attention, you see us drinking at some points. But yeah, there's definitely like an artificial...
Yeah, taste. Like, it tastes like a hangover to me, and... I don't, if I'm like drinking something consistently, like usually I go for like tequila soda, vodka soda, something that has like no sugar for the most part. So I really like Loverboy because it tastes like iced tea. Like it literally tastes like tea.
Yeah, no, that was by design. I mean, we wanted something that A, stood out from a flavor profile, like meaning like it doesn't taste artificial. It tastes natural. It tastes good. You don't actually taste any alcohol either.
That's crazy.
And then also, you know, the zero sugar, it's gluten-free. Oddly enough, tea is the most consumed beverage in the world. If you,
wow, that's great. Publicity.
There you go. But yeah, no, the Loverboy thing is, I mean, it's been insane. Like the growth we've had over the last 3-4 months with the show exposure. Obviously, Bravo helps, but when people try it and taste it, they're like, oh, it's really good. So that also helps because it's a good product.
Wait, I'm literally going to go order some to my shore house when we get off this because now I want them.
Order our Loverboy Spritz to New Jersey.
Okay, that's where my shore house is.
That's where your shore house is. Now, the tea, which is what we drink on this show, We are in talks with the distribution channel in New Jersey. We're working on it. I hope to be in New Jersey by July or August.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
So that shore life, I mean, listen, we got to hit, obviously Hamptons were covered. We have, you know, Massachusetts, we have Nantucket and Cape Cod. Connecticut's coming, New Jersey, and then we're trying to go down the Delaware and, you know, all the Carolinas and all that stuff. So it takes some time because we're a startup.
Of course. I mean, totally. It definitely takes time, but it's such a cool product, and I'm happy that you guys are able to show that on there. What is it like working full-time with Kyle and Amanda?
It's fun. I mean, I would argue I'm their biggest fan. I mean, I've seen them from the beginning of their relationship. I've always defended them when people always question the relationship. Yeah. I give them a ton of credit for being able to go through what they've gone through publicly.
Totally. It's been a lot.
And I think they're very, they've been able to still laser in and focus. And Amanda is honestly creative design genius. She came up with a lot of the branding and the themes and the mood. And obviously Kyle has his MBA and is a smart businessman. And I give them tons of credit. We've been able to really carve out a legitimate like business, and all things being equal, if this can go really, really well, like I'll never have to work again, you know? And
I know, it's awesome.
Setting us up for something beyond Bravo, which is something I always wanted to do when I first started this, you know, even when season one, Kyle asked me to join the house, I was like, why would we do something like this? He's like, it's a platform. Look at Bethany Frankel. And I was like, I knew it. I was like, okay, this is a huge opportunity. Not that we had Loverboy in our heads then, but
totally.
You know, it's I'm just really glad that like once Summer House is over, I will always feel like have this involvement and friendship and business relationship with Kyle and Amanda. Yes, it is hard. My true friendship with Kyle has evolved. I mean, we don't talk a lot about our own personal shit. It's more
business.
Sales, business development. Deals, all that, which is great. It's definitely shifted our relationship towards more business.
That makes sense. It kind of has to. I mean, it's hard, like as someone that runs my own like small business, it's really hard to bring someone else into the mix because when it's like, at least for me, when it's like my idea, yeah, it's when it's my idea and someone else tries to give input, I'm like, no, like you don't get it. It's like really difficult.
No, that's something I've learned just in general with Kyle and Amanda. Like, we can always have disagreements, and you know, I'm one of my best friends, but it is their little baby. But I have a love for it too, and I think it's been really cool. They've accepted me into their kind of little love for it, and I certainly hope I add a lot of value. I think I do. But there are times where I say something about, and they're like, no.
Yeah, like anything creative, they like shut it down.
No, Carl. Because I had an idea about like coming up with a dance move and, you know, some stuff that's a little out there, and they were like, no.
I love it. I literally say that. I'm like, when I do start dating someone, I'm like, I don't want a boyfriend that's like involved in my business because that's like so not my vibe. Because if someone tries to give me advice, like I will literally kill them. If they want to do my like finances and invoices, like fine. But anything creative, I'm like, let me be.
That's hard. I mean, I can't speak on Amanda and Kyle specifically, but just them, I would imagine it's definitely made it harder on their relationship because it is, you know, lover boy 24/7.
Some couples really, sorry to interrupt. Some couples really work together well, though. It just depends on your dynamic, I guess.
But once you involve like a boy, like, yeah, they're engaged, but if you involve like a boyfriend in business or you move in, like that adds a ton of pressure to the relationship, I think.
Yeah, no. All I want, this is what I say I want in a guy. I want a guy that has his own job. But then if I get us like a trip to Bali through my influencer stuff, you need to learn how to fly a drone. Like, that's all I need from you. Like, just get me drone footage and we're good.
Yeah, you definitely can find it. I'm sure a drone guy, he may not be as cute as you'd like.
No, I just want like a finance guy that like learns how to fly a drone.
I was going to say, dating over the quarantine, I mean, I've taken a little step back to, you know, figure my shit stuff out still, but certainly I'm like, I can't wait to see people in person again. Like, I'm
It's
dying.
So insane. I'm like, what's another human look like? I mean, I see my roommate, I see my parents, but that's like the extent of it. I mean, it's really hard to date because you talk to people on dating apps, it falls flat. It's like, what are you supposed to talk about? Half of the people are at their parents, so it's not even like you could be like, hey, let's go for a walk.
Parents, like, just like initiating like some level of like, listen, I can text, I can call, but like if you've never really met someone, there's one girl in particular like I'm kind of texting with her, and I don't know how to like push it to the next level because I don't want to be, you know, insensitive to what's going on in the world.
It's so true, and it's also like, oh, let me FaceTime you from my parents' house. Then, like, for me, at least, my mom would be like, Alyssa, who are you on the phone with? Like, it's so awkward.
Yeah, you can hear them in the back. Like, I had this yesterday. I was on a Zoom work call, and I have, like, little neighbors that are, like, 10 and 12 years old, and, like, they're like, Carl, yelling through the window, and I'm like, get out of here.
It's like I'm trying to work. Yeah, it's so funny. Well, I feel like everything that you're doing in your personal life is going to set you up to, like, actually meet someone. So it's good that you're taking those steps because they say you like attract how you feel about yourself. So if you're feeling negatively, you're not going to end up being with like your right person. So I think the fact that you're doing all of this, like someone really good is going to come in your life.
I like that. No, I definitely realized taking a step back from the alcohol and getting some therapy, doing meditation. You know, I'm still a work in progress in some ways, but I just feel so much more confident and so much more okay with who I am than I've ever felt before, where a lot of times I had a lot of insecurities. I was, you know, depressed at times, angry, and that only held me back. And I mean, no offense to any girls I've dated in the past, but a lot of my relationships were like predicated on bitching and moaning about how shitty my life was.
Yeah.
And all you end up talking about in your relationship is like, oh, I had a shitty day. I hate this person. My job sucks. I got fired. Money sucks. Like,
it like kind of makes sense why things didn't work out with Lindsay because she's so not that way. Like, she seems very comfortable in her own skin that she was like, she was almost like the right type of person, but at the wrong time because she was just like, not going to take that shit from you because she knew you too much. She was like, no, this isn't happening.
Well, yeah, she knew me very well. I mean, I can honestly say I'm glad we tried. It was definitely an interesting experience just having to live that on TV. But, you know, I love Lindsay. We get along very well. But I ultimately think we are just better off being friends.
And she's happy now with someone else.
Yeah, she's happy with Stravi. And, like, I like him. He's good. As long as she's supported and he takes good care of her, like, I'm happy. I mean, I can honestly say I'm just so glad that, like, yes, we tried a date. It was very brief. But that ultimately could be very detrimental. I'm just happy that I still have her as a friend.
Yeah, no, it's hard to cross that line with someone.
And it was a very light cross.
Yeah.
I mean, it made me look different. I mean, we didn't have sex. We obviously had a hookup. Yeah. But it was, for that time period, it was a lot. There was very stressful moments because she was looking for a very serious, ready to move on to marriage. And I'm just, I didn't realize. I was kind of looking to just have some fun and see where things could go, and that just wasn't.
Sometimes you don't even really realize until it's like too late, and then you're like, "Oh, what did I get myself into?"
You watch it back on TV, and you're like, "Wait, I was kind of a total idiot." So.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it happens. I feel like, wait, what did didn't you say that you were like Carl 3.0? Now I feel like it's like Carl 5.0.
It's funny. I was talking to my dad about this. I never publicly said 4.0. I did say 3.0. So I don't know if I got to go like 4.5 or 5X.
Well, I hope that if we do see you on, I mean, filming's going to start soon. I hope that you, and I know you will because you've always been really vulnerable and open, but I hope you show this side and like all of this growing. I think people can't fault someone for like wanting to be better and wanting to try. It's funny because that was my advice to Jordan before last season.
Jordan.
I was like, just go there, just be yourself, own who you are, and like literally none of it played out, but
I try to vocalize the same with him in different ways. I just think he wasn't presenting himself as his true self, and that
totally
that is really bad for reality TV. Like, he literally was putting on this kind of version of him because he thought that maybe that's what people would want to see, versus him just being true, because I think people would respect and be interested in his confusion, maybe with relationships or his figuring out his, you know, career path. Like, that stuff is good for TV. But when you're like, I'm the man, I banged three chicks last night and you didn't, it's like, what are you doing here?
So, no, totally. I think people read through that.
I'm looking forward
to showing this side of me because I have this in me. I've always have, but it's more amplified now that there's cameras. But it's just like, I've been hiding this side of me these last 4 years by drinking and partying because I've been afraid to address it.
Yes. And it's interesting because I feel like your castmates know, they knew the side was in you as well. And they even say in interviews, they're like, oh, deep down, like, he's going to be such a great husband. He's such a great guy. And now people could see what everyone else has been seeing and saying.
So it's going to be
that, actually made me kind of tear up a little bit, honestly, because it did happen a couple times, like on the reunion and then just even on some other media outlets, like, they've defended me a lot. Like,
they really have.
Into my side. And I think that's a true testament to like who they know as, you know, my character when the cameras aren't rolling. And certainly when they are, like, I'm 85% of the time, I'm a great time and awesome, but it's those 15% to 20, you know, 20% where I'm a fucking disaster. That was huge for me to know that they had a lot of support for me and were had my back. And I thought I knew that, but when they say it out loud, it made me feel really, really good. And that gave me kind of an extra vote of confidence, for sure.
No, it's so true. I think even people watching the show don't think you're deep down an awful guy. Like, I really think the public knows that you're a good guy. It's just, first of all, we love someone to, like, criticize. And sure, you have had the most, like, public relationships on the show because, like you said, Amanda and Kyle have been together since season one. Paige has a boyfriend now. Like, you're the one that's been, like, out there dating, with the exception of Hannah now. So it makes sense why you're going to be the one to kind of take all the flack.
It was just, and I'm also,
truthfully, like, I'm a people pleaser. And when I feel or find that people like hate me or think I'm an asshole and it's like not my true character, like, that hurts a lot. So like, I've tried to understand, you know, some of those things, but yeah, it's been a lot being on this show and being kind of figuring out your dating life. I mean, it doesn't lend itself to easy dating, I must say, but
no,
I think what I've done, you know, the last 3-4 months, taking a step back from alcohol and getting some help, you know, with mental illness stuff, I feel like I've got, like, Kyle's been a vote of confidence. He's like, you're going to meet your girl this summer for sure.
You know what's funny? Tell me if you feel this way, but because I have done work on myself, I'm like, so, I want to date someone that's also open to doing that. Like, if I start dating someone and they're just like so close-minded, at this point, that's like the biggest turnoff to me, because I know what it's like to put in work. And if you don't want to work on yourself, I'm just like, So like when you date, you know, you need someone that understands that.
Cool. And I think too, it's hard because I've dated girls in the past. So I think they're trying to change me versus me wanting to change myself. I think it's really hard to change people, but I think you can build a framework around supporting them to get to their own change and their own growth. And I certainly want to do that with someone too. Like, I mean, everything's kind of amplified now with quarantine. I'm like, it's made me want a relationship even more, and thinking about marriage and down the line having kids, because I'm 35. I mean, I'm not getting any younger. So I'm like, you know, I'd like to be in a relationship in the next 2 years, like a serious relationship, and then hopefully get married. So like, I've got to get my things in order to get to that place. But I definitely want to grow with someone too. So it's
no, yeah, I totally agree with that, because I even find myself, and I think it's quarantine too, because like you're just so in your own head right now. Like I was talking to a guy on a dating app and he was 36 and I'm thinking like, I kept wanting to ask him, so like, what are you looking for? But I'm like, I don't want to be so forward, but I'm just so curious because like, he kind of seems like a fuckboy. And I was like,
If he seems like a fuckboy, he is.
Yes.
So I just kind of wanted to, I'm like, I just like want to be so upfront and ask. And if I was in person with someone, I would be able to like bring it up more casually. Just, but like as a girl, you get nervous saying that because then it makes it seem like you want to date them. It's like, look, I'm just getting to know you. Like, I'm not saying I want to be with you, but I'm just curious, like, are you also trying to, like, what's your end game? You know what I mean? With anyone, not me. But it's so funny because, like, I've been thinking about all of these things, too, because we're just, like, sitting here analyzing our lives.
Overanalyzing. I mean, I've had, these, like, these little stories about, I'll, like, look at someone on Instagram and be like, oh, I could date them and, like, pick But it's like, I've never done that before. I've always, you know, one person. Yeah, certainly social media helps with dating in some ways, but I've generally liked to meet people in person and kind of go from there. But it's totally changed how you kind of are thinking about people, how you maybe are meeting new people.
It's literally, it's so true. It's so funny. I feel like I need to get out of the house. Like, someone unchain me.
Well, I mean, is the shore open somewhat, or what's going on?
Things are fine. So my sister and her husband actually rented a boat for the summer, which is like sick because it gets us like out of the house and to do something.
Every month, basically.
Yeah, it's amazing. So we've been doing that. I think restaurants and stuff are starting to open up. My parents are still like a little timid. At least we could like go in the backyard, barbecue, you know, everything that you do in the Hamptons. So that's been nice. To wrap up, though, because I don't want to keep keeping you for so long. I could talk all day. What? Okay. Hypothetically speaking, yep. You know I have to ask some of these questions.
Sure.
If Summer, I saw an interview. I don't know if Paige, like, said this or if they were quoting her in the article, but they were basically, I think it was on Us Weekly, they were basically saying how it's going to be, like, a quarantine house where you are filming, like, 4 weeks straight versus, like, just weekends. You don't have to confirm or deny.
I don't think she, A, was supposed to say that, and B, if that's even true.
Okay.
So
I don't know if it was a direct Page quote or if they were quoting her and then they added in their own context.
I know. This is exactly what happened. Paige and Hannah, love them, bless their hearts. They go on podcasts and Instagram lives and talk a lot.
Yeah, they say whatever.
They talk a lot. They do the most.
I'm dying.
That's all I'm going to say.
In regards to this coming season, all we are told is it's greenlit. We've not been formally told anything else, and anything else that Paige and Hannah have said, it's just not true.
And also, I know from just knowing you guys, for those of you that are listening, because I had so many people asking this, sometimes the cast members, like, literally don't know until a week before if they're coming back as a friend or full-time. Like, when they say that they don't know, they actually don't know, because...
And this is my assumption, by design.
That helps for your reactions, and our show, I think, yeah, like, it'll be exciting if we find out, you know, hey, we're doing this, we're doing that, but it's just always the way it is, because I don't think they know some things, because the world is in a lot, you know, a crazy place. There's laws with filming in public, so all we know, and we're told, and it's what Us Weekly says, we're greenlit for season 5. That's all we know, honestly, and I mean that bottom of my heart. I have no idea anything else.
Totally, that makes sense.
I wish I could pull some more publicity for you. But.
I know. I'm just so interested to see how it's going to go down.
I just want, my personal thing is I want to have, I mean, Kyle and Amanda were supposed to get married in the fall. So I'm hoping they still can get married. That's like my big thing. I'm so excited for them to get that.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, it's not my wedding, but I love weddings.
But I'll be there, so.
So I'm excited. I hope that works out. If it doesn't, obviously, you know, they'll figure that out, but. That was the one thing I was really looking forward to this summer, which has been, truthfully, probably affected by Corona. So we'll see what happens. But even our big house parties, who knows if we'll be able to have those or not.
I know, because you guys, I feel like a lot of the show is centered around the house parties. Yep. Hopefully, I mean, it's like you can still do stuff in the backyard. Like, I mean, people are allowed to have gatherings now of, like, X amount of people.
We could be smart about it, but I mean, again, last summer... I mean, there were those three parties we had, I mean, were pretty, I mean, the cameras don't even do justice. There was one party that was absolutely insane. I mean, with the one with goats and Kyle's birthday.
Hannah invited me to some of them last year, and I didn't come to any of them. And now I'm like, what I would do to go to a party.
It was, there was a couple, I can tell you offline, but it was like a legit rager. It was pretty wild. Like, we had a lot of fun, but there was a lot of people there. And we need to probably tone it down just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to be a summer of tennis and like barbecuing.
Like, I was joking with Luke and Kyle. I was like, we're going to be like mulching and trimming hedges and cutting grass and like doing, weed whacking.
That's so funny.
The girls will be baking banana bread and doing tie-dye in the house.
Oh my God, literally everyone's tie-dying. This is what I hope to see, okay? Masks, tie-dye, a lot of Loverboy. I feel like everyone it's going to be so funny in like 6 months, a year from now when we're watching TV and everyone's in masks.
Yeah. It's going to be strange. Who knows? I think Bravo's... The fact that we've got greenlit is a huge vote of confidence. I think the way I look at it is we're incredibly lucky that we even get another season just with everything going on. There's certainly other shows, even other productions that are not being filmed and been delayed. So we're so fucking lucky. So I'm just counting my blessings, just saying, hey, you know what? We're very lucky. Whatever kind of scenario it is, we're up for it. Let's just roll with the dice, because 5 seasons, it's crazy.
It really is so insane. It's, what you guys should do? You should go to like the North Fork and do like a vineyard day or something.
I love the North Fork. Season 1 and season 2, we went to a winery and we went oyster shucking, and they didn't use it because we were so drunk at those events. Like, there's so much unused stuff that people would be blown away by. Like, they can make whole episodes with like scenes that were never shown.
And the Hamptons is so beautiful. I feel like you don't even really get to see it on the show, like how nice it is.
So nice. Yeah, you mentioned North Fork and, like, even where Hannah's parents have a house in Shelter Island, which is
cool.
What's that really fun restaurant there that you feel like you're in?
Sunset Beach.
Yes, you feel like you're in Saint-Tropez. It's, like, gorgeous.
And Sunset Beach has been closed because everything going on. So, yes, I think we could do some stuff in other parts. I especially love the wineries. I think that is still kind of social distancing friendly.
Yeah. No, my friend owns a vineyard, her parents, in the North Fork, and they... It's Chin Estate, and then they have Croteau.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of those.
So they're both opening.
So, well, we got it. Yeah, North Fork, you got me thinking. I want to get back out there.
Yeah, no, for sure. Okay, Carl, this was so awesome. Thank you so much for being open and honest. I really appreciate it.
It's good to talk to you. Have fun in New Jersey, and get you some Loverboy spritz. You can go to our website and buy.
I will.
We have a promo code. Actually, we do have a promo code.
Okay.
Mango10 for 10% off.
Mango10, okay. Guys, you hear that? Mango10.
DrinkLoverboy.com. Mango10. It's a canned cocktail, no added sugar. It's delicious. It ships right to your door in most states.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
How about that plug?
All right, I'm going to stop recording and then we can go from there.
Awesome.